Good morning, Sunrise. It's good to see you. Hope everybody had a good spring break. I know I did. Got to see my three youngest grandchildren the first time in a year. So it was a lot of fun. I open your Bibles to Matthew 18. I'll be reading verses 18 through 20. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you that you have brought each of us here safely to our place of worship. We gladly surrender our lives to you as we do worship you and praise you in song and prayer and listen to a portion of your word. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessing to be on them. We invite your beautiful Holy Spirit to move freely amongst us. Come dwell in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us. And inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. Father, as we meet now, may we behold your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask all this in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Song number 833.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be where you are. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be, I just want to be with.
Now have our scripture followed with a prayer.
Good morning. Let us be reading from Micah 4:1-5. It shall come to pass in the later day that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit in every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of the hosts has spoken. For all the people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord God forever and ever. Bless her. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for letting us gather here to worship you and to walk. Our path with you, that you have given us and our guidance. And Lord, I pray that those that aren't walking your path in the manner pleasing you, you give them an extra, a piece of your blessing, Lord, so they can get back on the right path and shine your light to others to get on your path. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Stayed within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Standing. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billow his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Seated. Following this song, we'll have our communion. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day?
John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their work were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. 1 John chapter 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfect in us. God so loved the world that he came to us to die, to be crucified, to be raised again, to save not just me, but the world. And if God loved us that much, who are we not to love our enemies? Who are we not to love those who speak out against us? So that through our actions of love, the world might be saved by God. That's what he came to do. That's what we take this bread and this cup to remember, that he loved us that much. And he tells us, go out and love. So as we take this, I pray that we remember that his sacrifice was out of love, and that he called us to sacrifice out of love as well. Bow with me. Dear God, we come to you right now in humble adoration, Lord. Being reminded that we are sinners, that we were condemned to death because of our sin, but that you loved us, your creation, so much that you sacrificed everything for us to make us pure. We take this bread as a representation of that body that was broken for us, Lord. And I pray that as we do so, we search our hearts and we weed out and throw into the fire anything within our hearts that is not of you, anything that does not show your love, Lord. For if you loved us that much, who are we not to love others? I pray that we take this in a worthy manner, Lord, and that we will go throughout our life showing the world your light, helping pull them out of darkness, and that we do so out of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Bow with me. Dear God, we come again remembering the blood that was shed, remembering the cleansing power that it has to wash away all the filth of our sins, Lord, to draw us closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that we remember that that gift was not just for us, but was for the world. And that as your children, you have called us to go out into the world and bring them to you. I pray that as we take this cup in that remembrance, that we will put off our insecurities, that we will let that blood wash away anything that we think separates us from you and makes it where we can't do your work, Lord. And that we will remember that all of this is because of your love. I pray that we will go out into this world and shine your light. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone would like to contribute to the work that this church is doing, as well as our missionaries that we have support overseas, there are baskets in the back. But right now I'm going to pray over those funds. Dear Lord, we come to you asking for blessings over this financial blessing that we have, Lord. I pray that we will take what you have given us and they will give back to those who need it. Because everything we have is yours. We are just stewards on this earth, set to take care of and grow your kingdom. I pray that we do so with our bodies, with our lives, with all of our blessings that you have given us. I pray that the funds that we have will go to your work, and that those who are in charge of distributing it and using it will use it wisely. But in all things, I pray that you will work through anything that we do and everything that we do, so that your kingdom will be known on this earth and will be known in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the lesson this morning, we'll sing Walking in Sunlight, song number 611.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever on walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Good morning, church. I'm glad that you are here today. I'm really excited about today, as God has a good word. And it is very powerful for us living our lives of faith for him. And so I am excited to be able to share it. And I hope you are excited to receive it. And then I hope we're all excited to live it. That's the best part. That is the best part. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray. We continue the prayers that have been offered up this morning. We have invited your Spirit in, and we have drawn near to your throne of grace and mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, our ears, our eyes, our hearts are open. So I pray, Lord, that we are receptive right now, that we receive the bread of life. Father, your word is good. And we know, Lord, that our lives don't always match up to what you want, to what you say. We ask that you forgive us. We ask that you set us quickly back in the light. And that each and every day we will stay there, we will walk there, we will live where you are. Blessed be your name. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start here this morning. There's an amazing little interaction in Luke chapter 22 that has revealed so much about our lives of faith, about walking with Jesus, about what it looks like to live as a Christian, what it looks like to be faithful. In Luke chapter 22, in the middle of this chapter, Jesus is just verse 24. Jesus has had a discussion with his disciples, and he says, look, all of you that want to be great, that want to work your way up, that want to grow, that want to experience fully, you need to become servants. You need to become servants. That's how you become great in God's kingdom. And then he reminds them, he says, hey, look, I came to you as a servant to show you how to do it, to show you the way. And then after this, Jesus has an amazing interaction with Peter that is going to help our lives of faith so much. So I want to pick it up in verse 31. Jesus says, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. So Jesus, and he's addressed this to Peter, but what we need to catch in the original language, Jesus says, Satan wants all of you. Satan wants all of you, all of my followers, all my disciples, all those who would take a stand with me, who would make a confession of faith, who would admit that they are with me, that they are on my side. Satan wants each and every one of you. The word you there is plural. So he's addressing Peter, but he's talking to the disciples. Satan wants you all, and I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And then Peter says, Lord, you don't have to worry about me. I got you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going all the way to the end. All the way to death if necessary. I'm on your side, Lord. Peter, that's great. But when you fall, as in tonight, make sure you come back. When you mess up, turn back to God and keep on serving. Two things that this little story reveals so much to us, and two things that we're going to focus on today, two great lessons that we're going to take with us. Number one, the first lesson we take from this, and I do not fault Peter, I do not want you to fault Peter, I want you to have a little bit more Peter. Lesson number one is absolute confidence in your devotion to Jesus. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit called faithfulness. You don't look at your own track record, okay? You don't look at the ways in which you've messed up before. You get up and today you proclaim, I belong to Jesus. Today I will walk with Jesus. Today I will trust Jesus. 100% in every way and in every situation. I want us to live with that kind of faith. God wants us to live with that kind of faith. That's lesson number one, and we're going to get there this morning. Lesson number two. When you fall and are unable to live up to that faith that you proclaim, get back up. Keep serving. So two lessons today. Two lessons. Lesson number one, absolute confidence in your faith. And lesson number two, when it goes wrong, get back where you need to be. We'll go back to Micah chapter 4 that Scotty read for us. Back in Micah chapter 4, I'll give you a second to find it. It's near the back of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 4, and there's more famous verses in Micah. And again, Micah is one of the smaller prophets, grew up and preaches in a little village in a small town, so he doesn't really know all the big goings on of Israel and God's people, but he's got the people right there that he serves, and they're not being faithful. They are not living faithfully, and so he is shown by God what God is going to do in the future to make things right. It's the same thing that you and I live for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Because we look around, and just like God recognizes, we recognize things are not right, and we cry out for that day. We cry out for justice. We cry out for the mountain of God to rise up higher than all the hills that man can build, and that every eye will look towards Him, that every heart will turn towards Him, that every tongue will confess His name. We look forward to that. And we do so in the midst not only of the enemy every day trying to sift us like wheat. Every day we get up and the enemy just wants to pound on us and knock us down and cause us to stumble. And not only cause us to stumble, because the stumblings have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, the devil wants us to forget it and not believe it. And every day he's just there. Pounding away. And even in the midst of all of this, and the reason why we read from Micah, because things are not going well. Yes, in the future, God's going to judge with justice. In the future, weapons of war are going to be ground down and made into useful tools that actually can provide a blessing for those around us. That day's not today. We're looking forward to that day. That day's not today. And in fact, in that last verse, in verse chapter 5, he says, look, everybody around me is just following their own God. And we just go, yeah, huh? Everybody around us is just following their own God. We're not doing the best that we can because God's kind of upset. The people around us aren't doing any good. And so God has a right to be upset. But we hold on to this confession, and loud and clear we say, and we join all of God's people for all of time in Micah 4:5. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. That is what we proclaim. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And the enemy will come up with, you didn't walk very well yesterday. No, I didn't, but today's a new day. Well, you weren't walking very well with God when you weren't faithful in that situation. You're absolutely right. I missed the mark, and I'm trying again. Well, you didn't walk very well when you said those harsh words. Just whatever it is that the enemy brings up to your heart and to your mind and says, hey, well, what about this? And what about this failure? And what about that failure? Praise be to God, Jesus died on the cross for all of my failures. So we will serve the Lord our God forever and ever. We never stop living with Him, walking with Him, and serving Him with everything we've got. Our sins do not disqualify us for being close to the Lord because we have a Savior. So loud and clear, the world around us needs to hear our confession of faith. I'll be honest, tomorrow morning, you're bathroom mirror probably needs to hear loud and clear your confession of faith. That today I will walk with God. Let's go back to Luke. A little earlier in chapter 4, Jesus is face to face with Satan. Face to face with the tempter. And in the second temptation in Luke chapter 4, down in verse 5, the devil took him up, showed him all the kingdoms of the world at a moment in time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Church, Satan's doing the exact same thing to you, and he will continue to do the exact same thing to you for as many days as you have. Until the king returns, the enemy will say, I've got the whole world. It's mine and you can have it. It's mine to give. And all you got to do is worship me. I'll give you everything you want in this world. Everything you want to chase, you'll achieve it. Everything you want to reach for, you can have it. Everything that will satisfy your heart's desires, it'll all be yours. You just give me your heart. You give me your soul. And Jesus says to him in verse 8, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And church, we get up each and every day and we live our lives with this confession, with this scripture right in the front of our eyes. We will worship God alone. And you and I, being not as good as Jesus, Satan's going to say, well, yeah, what about that time you didn't worship God alone? What about that time in your life where you chased other things? What about that time in your life where you weren't faithful? Again, we will worship God alone. You see, God's perfect standard is in no way diminished by my ability to live up to it. And we do not, the Apostle Paul will say, hey, look, what we're not preaching ourselves. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not Michael. It's not the gospel of Michael. Hey, look at me and how good I follow Jesus. Come on. The gospel is Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look how faithful he is in all things. Let's follow him. That's the gospel. And so when Jesus stands up right in the face of the devil and says, I am going to worship God and God alone. See, when you stand face to face with the devil's going to have a little more ammunition. He couldn't really say anything else to Jesus. Jesus had always worshiped God alone and only and wholeheartedly. The devil faces you and I and he says, well, yeah, but what about, eh? What about, oh, you remember that? Because you and I have a past, don't we? Yeah, you and I have a past. In fact, just like Peter was going to mess up that very day, you and I have a past that probably includes, I don't know, this morning? Yesterday? You and I have a past, and the enemy can say, ha, I got you. You didn't serve God very well in that opportunity. You're right. I sure didn't. Praise be to God. Because God's glory does not depend upon my faithfulness. My faithfulness depends upon God's glory. He is the rock that I stand upon. My own abilities are not the rock that I stand upon, because my own abilities have proven over and over again to be shifting sands. We will worship God and God alone. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, as we build up in this confidence that we have in God. Hebrews chapter 10, let's see. Listen to the language and the verbs that are going on here in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read a little bit in the middle and then finish it up at the end. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Go down to verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I underline them. I hope you may need to as well. The verbs that are given to us here in Hebrews chapter 10. Draw near. Draw near. Hold fast. Be confident. Do not shrink back. Well, that right there is all you need, isn't it? Draw near to God. Be close to Him. Hold fast to your confession. Jesus is Lord. Nothing's going to let me tear away my grip from that truth. Jesus is Lord. Be confident. God said He would save me from myself, from my sins, through the blood of Jesus. So draw near to Him with confidence. We don't cower, we don't quake, we don't shake, we don't limp to Him. We stand up and we proclaim His glory with confidence because Jesus, His only begotten Son, paid the full price on Calvary for our sins. I am confident that Jesus is the Son of God. I am confident that His death on the cross had eternal consequences for me and for you and for everyone who would believe. I can draw near to that. I can draw near to that. I'm not afraid of getting burned. Do not shrink back. It does not make God happy when we say, maybe He can forgive that. Maybe He loves me. Maybe He wants me close, but maybe He doesn't. Do not shrink back. Our confidence, church, we've got to remember this. Our confidence is in the work that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. That's why our confidence never can be shaken. Our confidence does not show that we do not make mistakes. It shows that we trust Christ's work for our salvation. Don't get it confused. Don't get it confused. And as long as you don't get it confused, as long as your confidence is in Christ's work for your salvation, then you're not going to be out of line. You're not going to be out of line. And so you can grasp firmly. You can stand confidently. Because we stand with Jesus. We stand with Jesus. Now, if you don't feel like $1 million, right? That's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted us to see first, over and over and over again, the promises of God that has made it possible for you and I to stand in the presence of God. That we have a Savior. We have a high priest, one who is at the right-hand side of God, constantly doing for us exactly what He did for Peter. I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. I am interceding for you. You do not come to the throne of God alone. You come with me and you come through me. And as you come through me, you are washed. You are blessed. You are cleansed. So we come near, we draw near to God with full confidence because we draw near to His throne and the sin and the blemishes and the mistakes and the errors that we continually do are washed clean. And we stand before God and we praise His holy name because He has seen fit to give us such a wonderful gift as His Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah! So what's Satan going to do to you? What's he going to do to you? Kick you in the shin? Hit you over the head, make you feel guilty, bring up your past. Hey, remember when you were married for just a few minutes? And if some of you are still there, I'm sorry. Let me know. I'll pray for you. Remember when you were married for just a few minutes and all of your fights led back to bringing up the past? Remember when you used to fight like that? That every fight that you had in your marriage, and if you thought you were losing, you know what you'd do? Let's go back. I put it. Ha! found it. You remember when you did this? Remember when you had those fights in your marriage? Yeah, those were fun, weren't they? They do. They don't ever end. Because if you keep bringing up the past, no one's going to win. Ha, you found it. Remember that one time? Yeah, but you did. Again, and I'm not joking, if you're still fighting like that in your marriage, you come see me. And we will do some serious prayer and some counseling if necessary. I'll confess to you, that's how my wife and I used to fight in our marriage. Early in our marriage. Yeah, but you did this. Because, you know, we wanted to win the fight, right? Took us a while to realize that when you're both mad, no one really wins the fight. And when it's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, you're really just doing what? Yeah. I'm going to get you. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. Same can be said for allowing the tempter and the accuser to keep on jabbing you in the chest saying, remember what you did? Remember your sins? Remember how you messed up? Remember how you let God down? Remember how you weren't faithful to Jesus? No. No. I always thought it was, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but some of the greats, if you've ever watched any sports, some of the greats, when they're interviewed, some of the greatest basketball players in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, an interviewer will ask them, hey, you remember that game you lost? And they would just look them straight in the eye and say, uh-uh. Well, you were there. No, I don't remember that one. No. You guys remember that game 7? It was a heartbreaker and you were so close. Remember that game that you lost? Remember that shot that you missed? No, I don't. And the interviewer is just like, well, what do you mean? I don't remember that. I remember the ones I made. I remember the victories. I remember the wins. Guess what? That's how you be a winner. I always thought it was kind of weird till I figured it out. That what they were doing was focusing so much on the positive truth that they left no room for that negative truth to creep in there and to make them doubt themselves. Because if you're going to go and you've got millions of dollars in contracts and you've got millions of fans screaming and cheering for you and you're going to stand out there in front of all of that and have confidence to put that ball through that little hoop, you better believe in yourself. And that's just professional sports, church. You're going to go out tomorrow and you're going to face the enemy. You're going to face the devil. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, I'm going to give you the whole world. Just follow me. And if you are not confident, if you are not 100% confident, you're going to fall. Lesson number two. We are going to fall. We're going to miss the shot. It's going to rim out. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to let other people down. We are going to bring up the past. We're going to fight unfairly. We're going to feel guilty. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to live a life or a day or even a moment less than love. It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how often. But church, the most important thing is how do we respond to our failure? How do we respond to our failure? We do not shrink away from God in our failures. We confess our constant need of Jesus. Let's start, let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 at the end of the Psalm. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting. God, I want you to know me so well that I want you just to tear me open and I want you to search me. I want you to go through every part of me. I open my life to you 100%. I give you everything that I have. That's not just Sunday morning when the songs are right and the prayers are clicking and it all feels so good. It is every single day I want more and more of God's presence in my heart, so I'm going to leave less and less room for the enemy and worldly things. I want them out. So God, you search me. You come all the way in and you look in every area of my life. You look in every area of my heart. You look in every area of my marriage. You look in every area of my schedule. You look in every area of my thoughts. You look in every area of my feelings. You have it all. You look everywhere. And if any of it is not for you, get rid of it. If any of it is not for you, give me a red flag, send alarm bells screaming through. I want it gone. I only want to live for you. And I know you're going to find stuff. God's going to search me and he's going to find stuff. He's going to say, remember that harsh word? Remember that time when you knew what the right thing to do was, but, you know, kind of like those in the guy on the side of the road, you had a busy schedule, you had other things, more important things going on, and you just, you know, took care of yourself. Search me, God, and point that out to me. Point it out to me. You know, the great thing about God pointing things out to us is he gives us a chance to say, there it is, clean it up. When the devil points out things, what does he say? Ha ha ha, there it is. That's why you're dirty. When God points it out, he says, there it is. Let me have it. Let me have it. Look, church, God knows what to do with your sin better than the devil does. He does. So we got to trust him with it. Trust him with it, because you're going to trust somebody with it. You're going to trust your Lord and Savior with it, or you're going to trust the enemy with it. Would you trust an enemy with your house key? Would you trust an enemy with your car keys? Would you trust an enemy with your children? Would you trust the enemy with your heart? Don't trust him with anything. Trust God. Because the devil's already searching you. He's already looking for a weakness. He's already looking for a chink in your armor. He's already looking for an area in your life that you refuse to give over to God. So let God search your heart. Let him point out, hey, here's something. You're not giving that to me. And then let it go. Let him have it. That's good and bad, church. Let God have your sins. Because he knows how to deal with it. He knows how to carry it. It's too much for us. Our shoulders were not built to carry all of that. We bend and we break. So Jesus says, I got this. Let me carry it. So every day, search me, Lord. Clean me out. Look everywhere in my life. And if there's something not for you, take it away. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to carry it anymore. I don't want to live with it anymore. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Acts chapter 3, verse 17, we find Peter, that same Peter, that said, I will go with you all the way. And Jesus said, yeah, but today you're going to fail me three times. Well, after all that is said and done, Peter stands up and he says, hey, I got a message for all of you that killed Jesus. I got a message for all of you that killed Jesus. Listen up. Acts 3:17, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. All right. Peter is talking to those very people who killed God's son. And he looks them in the eye and he says, if you will turn back to God, God is going to bless you, forgive you, heal you, take care of you, and make everything okay. Now, why are we reading this scripture? Because some of you this morning are sitting right there thinking that whatever it is that you have done is on par with killing Jesus. And you're carrying that weight, and you're carrying that sin, and you're carrying that guilt, and you think, well, no, I need to be guilty some more. I haven't felt bad enough for all I have done. Well, here, let me help. I'll pour on. You killed Jesus, God's only son. Want some more? Why is sin so heavy? The reason the sin is so heavy is that so you and I will learn the only place to unload our burdens. Why do you think people in the world are so miserable? They get everything they ask for. You think they'd be happy. They're not. You ever talk to any of them? Whew. It's like there's something evil in there. Oh, yeah. Getting everything you want from the devil doesn't make you happy. Because you lose your soul. You might think there's something to that. Whatever it is that we have done, we bring it to God. Whenever we mess up, we repent. We turn back to Him. This is what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, when you mess up, I want you to come back. When we mess up, it does not disqualify us for serving in God's kingdom. When we miss the mark, that's what sin means, to literally miss the mark. We miss the mark. When we miss the mark, we turn back to God. We turn back to God. Lord, I am sorry. I failed you yesterday. I want to do better today. That's the difference. That's the difference. How many people have you known that just, they missed the mark and the enemy told them, well, you've done it now, you've let him down, you better just go your own way. I know people who are living that hell, and that's what it is. It's hell. Hell is the belief or the disbelief in the Savior. Not believing that Jesus died for your sins. Away from the presence of the Father. Not allowed to draw near to Him because you want to carry all your own sins. You know people that are living there. I know people that are living there. I know people that have listened to the enemy's voice rather than the voice of God. I know people and you know people that are living right now, today, according to the voice of the liar. He's been lying since the very beginning. Read his biography. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a liar. Why trust it? But God says, when you mess up, come back for blessing. You're not going to find it hiding in shame. No one ever finds blessing hiding in shame. You don't find forgiveness avoiding it, do you? You know, later when you stop in your marriage and you stop bringing up the past, we evolve, we move on. We move on to the next wonderful stage where everybody messes up and nobody apologizes. You know what I'm talking about? We just won't talk for a while. We just won't talk for a while. We'll let each other cool off. And then I'll give you, 30 minutes, an hour, 4 days. And I'll try to step back in and just test the water. What I'm trying to do is saying, okay, I really want us to be okay without me just telling you I messed up. I'm sorry. I just want it to go away. What happens when you don't apologize? What happens when you just try to sweep it under the rug? The hurt's still there, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Still there because you didn't deal with it. You didn't deal with it. We're not going to find blessings until what? We repent. We repent. God's going to bless us when we turn away from our wickedness. Turn away from it. He says in verse 19, repent, turn back. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. Turn back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He says, good. Gone. Now be blessed. How much time have we wasted in our lives hiding from God and His forgiveness? Walking in shame. I mean, we come together and we sing, walking in sunlight. Yeah, you know the song. But how many of our days have we spent during the week walking in shadows? Walking in darkness. It's not that we're lost. We just refuse to repent. We refuse to be close to Him because I messed up. I'm guilty. I'm filled with shame. I regret what I said. I regret what I did. And Peter says to those who killed Jesus, the same thing to you. The only way you're going to find the light is in the light. You're not going to go away from the light and go, oh, hey, there was some light hiding over here in the darkness. No. No, the light is with God. So you turn back to God. You turn back to Him. Last one, Romans chapter 7. For those of you theology students, we're going to finish up with some theology. You like to theologize every once in a while? Yeah, occasionally. Occasionally I dabble. I like the theology. Yeah, I know. See, we had the story of Jesus. We had truth put on flesh. And it was like, yeah, I can relate to that. I can dig that. Well, now we're going, for those of you intellectuals, and we're just gonna end with Paul just theologizing this stuff. And this is heavy. Romans chapter 7 and 8 are heavy. Okay? I mean, they take a long time to figure out, is what I'm saying. I'm not 100%. I'm just going to read them. Because it's good. It's good. Romans chapter 7. Let's start in verse 13. Now, take a deep breath. It's kind of a long section. Romans 7, 13. Did that which is good then bring death to me? No. He's talking about the law and how the law points out sin. By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Ugh, I am a mess. And Paul says, wretched man that I am. But most of us don't go around saying that. I am a mess. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This is heavy stuff. And Paul is looking at this, and again, I've read more interpretations and commentaries that I'd like to on these chapters. What Paul is saying, look, I want to follow Jesus. I mean, I made the confession. I believe in my heart. I know it's real. I've seen Him. I made with my tongue. I said, Jesus is Lord. I'm going to follow Him. I want to do what's right. I want to walk in His light with my mind. I said, I want to be a Christian. And yet, I look at my life. My life doesn't always go along or flow together with my decisions, does it? In my decisions, I'm following Jesus. In my words and in my actions, I don't always follow Jesus. I'm a mess. We can relate, can't we? Absolutely. Absolutely. Who's going to help me out of this? Who's going to help me out of this? Well, praise be to God. Jesus Christ is going to help us out of this. Jesus is the only way to help us out of this. Jesus is the only one to turn to because I want to follow Jesus. Not very good at it. I mean, I'm trying. I'm getting better, I think, but I'm still letting Him down. Then He's got to come around and He has to say, church, and we need to hear this, because what do I do when I talk a big game? I mean, I want to be a good Christian, and yet I know me better than anybody else. I'm not really that good of a Christian. I'm a mess. What do I do? He has to come in chapter 8, verse 1, and remind us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. In fact, it can't. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right. So, we've seen Peter's story with Jesus. We hear Paul talking about it. And just like Peter and Paul, we want to do good. We want to be faithful. We want to follow Jesus. We want to... We sang it this morning. I just want to be where You are. In Your presence. I just want to be close. I just want to be near. That's all I want. Because I know that near You is good. Near You is eternal. Near You is blessed. Near You is life. I've tasted it. I know it's good. I just want to be there. I want to be there today. In the fellowship of the saints. I want to be there in the future. I want to be there on my deathbed. I want to be there when Jesus wakes me up. I want to be there in the resurrection. I want to be there for all eternity. I just want to be there. And yet sin is just right there. Still there. I miss the mark. Church, when we miss the mark, we repent, we turn back, and we give praise to God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what we do. In Him, we are not condemned. He has taken away our sins. It's exciting, it's so good. So now we live according to the Spirit. We live according to the Spirit. We want what God wants. God wants us to be close to Him. God wants us to be faithful, to be righteous, to be Spirit-filled, to be a temple for him to dwell in. The Lord is in his holy temple. We are that temple. It's what he wants. It's what I want. It's what you want. It's what we all want. And what am I going to do? Because sin is just right there, because I still have to deal with the flesh. Still have to deal with missing the mark. I mean, I know in here, I know everything God says is true. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason not to follow. There's no reason not to do good. And yet, I look in the mirror, and the guy I'm stuck with doesn't do good. I can run away and hide. I can lie to myself and not truly search my heart. Or I can run back into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus, turning again and again and again and again and again, and stay close to him. We're going to fail him continually. So let's keep on turning back continually. Two things that we get from Luke chapter 22. Two truths that I want you to take this week, and I want you to live with abandon. I want you to live faithfully and fiercely. I want you to have absolute confidence in the God that you serve. And I want you to get up and turn back to him and repent every single time you fail. Absolute confidence in God and staying close to him by turning back over and over and over and over. Sounds like the way that God has given us. Sounds like the Christian life. Sounds like faith. Sounds like a lot of fun if we do it. The alternative? Look, church, the alternative is we fool ourselves into thinking we don't need to turn. We become like Pharisees. We start to lean upon our own understanding and our own ability to fulfill God's perfect law of love. Well, that ain't happening. Or it sounds, the other alternative is misery. Walking in the kind of light. You ever wasted days walking kind of in the light? It just gets hot. That's it. It just burns. Don't walk kind of in the light. Walk in the light. Kind of in the light, that is, he who knows the good and doesn't do it, that ain't good. Turn back to him. He knows that you're going to fall. He knows that you're going to fall again. He's kind of made plans to take care of that. So trust it. If you're not a Christian this morning and you need to be, newsflash, you need to be. If you are a Christian this morning and you need to be, you are. So just be. Be. Be what God has made you to be. Let's stand together and sing.
In your way. follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Glad you're all here this morning. Are there any